Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam Territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com, or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio. Hello, and welcome to CICK News for March 30th. Since 2017, the provincial government has allocated over $500 million to expanding connectivity to underserved rural and Indigenous communities in BC. So far, the program has funded 184 approved projects benefiting more than 72,430 households in the province. To see a complete list of all approved and announced projects supported by the Connecting British Columbia program, head to Northern Development Initiative Trust's website. And now I'm speaking with Stikeen MLA Nathan Cullen about the provincial side of the benefits to this program.
Nathan Cullen, Minister of Water, Lands, and Natural Resource Stewardship, and also the MLA for Stikeen.
So the province has been making strides to bring internet to otherwise disconnected and Indigenous communities. What was the goal of this project?
Well, quite simply, to connect people with reliable, high-speed internet. And we accomplished a couple of other things with the project that we just announced with Gitinyau just this week, last week. It's all blurring. We put $3 million towards a project that is quite, I won't say unique, but very special in the fact that it is an Indigenous business partnership between Gitinyau and a company out of Terrace. And so they'll own 51% of the project. The training, the upkeep and maintenance and all of those things will be handled by them. And really building up capacity as well as connecting themselves in Gitinyau and also the community of Stewart. So Stewart will now be connected to very good high-speed internet. And it's exciting to see communities stepping up and taking on these kinds of roles because it builds a lot more strength within the North. It also provides better internet for everybody in the North because it's another loop in the system in case another beaver decides to take out an internet pole. We won't all lose our internet again as we did just last year.
Yeah, I remember that date vividly, actually.
Yes, many of us do.
So I guess then who was responsible for spearheading the initiative with, and I believe what you're referring to was the Mezihaddin Junction Limited Partnership?
That's right. Well, you'd probably have to ask them for the very, very origins of that coming together. But we as a province have had a number of efforts across BC to see more partnerships, more Indigenous-led businesses, be they on their own or in partnership with somebody else, because we know especially for rural and remote, service can often be a real challenge, getting enough service in from some of the larger companies. And knowing and understanding how the North works is a particular mindset, a particular skill set when it comes to things like communication. So for me, it's such a perfect match because it brings together that local knowledge as well as building up people's capacity in the North to, create our own internet systems, be able to maintain them, and know when service goes down, how critical that is to people who live here, the businesses that we now know rely on good, safe, reliable internet, and for the day-to-day things, like, so many people are meeting online, getting counseling or government services online, like it's just expanding from a nice-to-have to a must-have, and so this project and the projects that will follow really starting to connect those communities that have been underserviced for a long time. I mean, just it's night and day for those communities and their abilities to connect to the world and also attract people who want to live there.
What was it that, I mean, what has it been in the past, let's say 10 years that made this a must and not a nice to have change for communities?
Yeah, I mean, the world has obviously been moving in this direction, whether you're in business or accessing basic government services, accessing education opportunities. There's more. Like, I'm going to start taking Gitan classes in the next couple of weeks. They'll all be online. We know increasingly our ability to connect to the rest of the world is important for all those things and so many other reasons.
Yeah.
The pandemic really accelerated things, made more things available online. I think it also, a lot more people got comfortable doing things online that they didn't think they would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing their doctor, seeing a counselor, getting advice on all kinds of things. So that's, you know, there's not much good that came from the pandemic. I guess this is one small good thing,
mm-hmm.
is that we've learned to live in that online environment in different ways. It's also a lot more affordable for those of us that live far away from the cities to be able to access, you know, specialist services, things that before would have, and still do sometimes, require a lot of travel and expense. So those are the kinds of things we're looking at to make sure, you know, how fair is the system? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the answer for rural and remote people is not very fair. Having good internet means that it levels the playing field a little bit more for those of us that live further from the city. And that's something that's really of interest to me as somebody who represents the North.
Do you know what the kind of what the map is for the next communities to receive internet on the North Coast?
Yeah, there's a submarine cable project that we've been laying down that should be going live, if it's not live already. That's going to connect a lot of some of the more and most remote coastal communities. We have some projects lining up for even further north, where when you get really far north, you start to talk to the Yukon services quite a bit, because the access is right there. They're close to the grid and whatnot. So it's unique to every remote community, but we have an ambition to connect every single British Columbian, regardless of where they live, to reliable high-speed internet in the next few years. Not cheap. It's costing hundreds of millions of dollars. But again, we know, you know, in a sense of fairness and wanting to do right by people, it's not going to be cheap to get those last mile connections, but they're coming, and more coming every day, which for me is exciting. Some of the projects Indigenous led, some of them cooperative. They're a real mixed bag depending on which community we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And I guess is the goal as well to seek out more local, if not regional, like service providers and technicians as well to maintain lines, much like with Mesiatin Junction Limited Partnership, to kind of find a partner in that?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. It's always going to be a combination. The backbone of much of our communication system will still be the larger carriers. I mean, those are billions of dollars of investment, mm-hmm. of those main spines that connect the province. Now, who brings the service into the remote communities, rural communities? That can often and is better done by smaller outfits, often, you know, your City Wests and some of these very specific partnerships.
Yeah.
So it'll depend place by place. We're always going to need the large, the Telluses, the Bells, the Rogers. We're expanding. The summer should be all done, having cell service all the way down Highway 16 between Prince George and Prince Rupert. And that has been a long project for some of us, knowing how important for issues of safety predominantly having good cell service all the way down the line has been. So that one we're doing with Rogers and a couple of other major carriers. We'll always need them, but I'm, you know, I pull for the little guy. I like to see some of the smaller carriers, if they have capacity and they can deliver the good service that we need, why not give them a leg up? And again, it's always got to be to the service of the community. It's got to work. But with projects like this, I feel very confident in their ability to deliver the services.
Is there anything else to add that I didn't ask you from kind of a regional provincial stance on this that you think is important for people to know about this project?
You know, one thing that was pointed out when we were in Gitanyau this week was the ability of Gitanyau members who no longer live in the territory to be able to connect back home for language classes, for cultural opportunities, just even the basic video connection to be able to chat with folks at home. That was really emphasized, and I thought that was something that something I hadn't really contemplated much. But when people move away, being able to stay connected culturally with family is really hampered if your internet is that spinning wheel of doom all the time, mm-hmm. waiting for a connection to happen, and doing things like language classes almost becomes impossible. So the cultural component of this, the family component, really struck home for me for some of our communities. It's not just connecting out, it's also connecting back. And I thought that was a beautiful sentiment that was expressed.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me on this.
Yeah, thanks for the interest. Anytime. I love these projects. They're exciting and they're local and they make a lot of sense, but I appreciate the interest, Pamela.
It is nice to have good news too. So
sometimes I flick on the radio and it's like, okay, it's important to know all this stuff, but man, it's depressing.
If you want to see the communities connected by the high voltage AC submarine cables, formerly DC submarine cable system that Minister Cullen mentioned in his interview, you can view a map online at submarinecablemap.com. Just enter British Columbia in your search window and you can see the lines that travel from Lac-Squillames to Bella Coola to Haida Gwaii. That project is called Connected Coast. Next, I'm speaking to Joel Starland from the Gitanao Band Office about the Mizziadin Junction partnership plans to bring high-speed internet to each house in Gitanao and Stewart, BC.
Hello, I'm Joel Starland. I'm the Executive Director of the Gitanao Hereditary Chief's Office.
Can you tell me about the partnership with Mizziadin Junction Limited?
Yeah, Mizziadin Junction is a fully owned Gitanao business. It is a camp, a restaurant, and a convenience store located at Mizziadin Junction. It has shareholders of Gitanao WILP, which is a hereditary organization, and the Gitanao Band Council formed the entire business of Mizziadin Junction. We formed a partnership with Ciena Networks, who is a telecommunications operator who owns a lot of the infrastructure in Stewart, and we formed Mizziadin Ciena Telecommunications.
And so what does the connectivity of high-speed internet mean for the residents of Gitanao territory?
I think first and foremost is around safety. A lot of the community members in Gitanao have got rid of their hard telephone lines.
Oh, yeah, like landlines?
And they've opted into Wi-Fi. And right now, it is a bit patchy within our community, especially during evenings, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. when a lot of people are on the internet. So it is a safety issue. The other thing is around education. During the pandemic, a lot of our students were working from home and had a lot of difficulty trying to continue on with their education through remote learning. We also do have different opportunities to the Gitanao Hereditary Chief's Office. We have the Gitanao Education and Training Institute, and this offers a lot more remote learning for our community members.
Okay, yeah, that's very cool. And I guess kind of if there was any sort of alert system in place, it would be via cell phone, would it not?
Yes, and we do have an opportunity now to bring cell phone service to the community of Gitanao. That's one step removed from this current process, but it does give us that opportunity to provide cell phone service potentially in Gitanao.
When will the internet be up and running?
We are planning to have both communities up and running, Gitanao and Stewart, by December of this year. It could be sooner, but our target is December.
Now, is there anything that I didn't ask that is important for our listeners to know, either about this partnership, Gitanao territory, anything else about the internet?
Well, I think this is a great project that shows collaboration between our hereditary governance, the Band Council, and partnership with Stewart, British Columbia, and also with the province of BC. A lot of these opportunities go towards the big telecommunications of the world, Rogers, TELUS, etc. And this is a great partnership that we have in place, and we're looking forward to implementing it. We also have an opportunity to beaver-proof the North Coast, potentially. In, I think it was 2021, the entire North Coast had lost their internet service due to a beaver falling a tree on a line. We have an opportunity to provide some redundancy to the North Coast by providing a backfeed to Terrace through this new project, which would potentially prevent something similar happening to 2021. But that's going to take some additional work, but that's going to set the groundwork for us to be able to do that.
Is that using those submarine cables, like Connected Coast? Is that what you mean for like a backup?
We'd be able to microwave internet back through Terra. So the internet goes through a line all the way to Terrace, and it actually backfeeds all the way to Houston. So that's why when the internet went out, the entire North Coast went dark all the way from Houston to Terrace, mm-hmm. to Prince Rupert. We would be able to potentially microwave internet back through to Terrace and provide some redundancy so that if the line did go down, the entire North Coast would not go down. That's going to take a little bit of groundwork, but that opportunity is now there that didn't exist before this. There is a line going up from Highway 37 to the Northwest Transmission Line. It'll travel up to Ellsworth Camp, which is about 20 kilometers south of Mezieden Junction. We're going to be plowing another line from the Northwest Transmission Line up to Mezieden Junction and using that internet and microwaving it into the community of Stewart. That's sending the internet into the community Stewart and being able to disperse it that way. In the community of Gitignau, it's going to be pure fiber. So that actually means that there's going to be a strand of fiber brought to every single house in the community that goes directly to the supplier of the internet so that there's no lagging when the community is using a lot of internet at the same time, because every single house has direct called pure fiber to their home. But to Stewart, we're going to be microwaving it from Mezieden Junction into the community. And we have an opportunity to do the same thing from potentially Cranberry Junction or Mezieden Junction itself, microwaving internet into Terrace to provide a backfeed that would allow some redundancy. And if the line did go down, it wouldn't shut down the entire North Coast of BC. But the infrastructure is already in place for the community of Gitignau. We just need to connect each house now. And I guess one other thing is one of the things that we've heard from, I don't know if you contacted the Stewart mayor, but they've talked about how this will be able to attract more business into the community, because that is a big factor for them when companies are talking about setting up in town, to having reliable internet is a big part of their decision making, and having that in place will open up a lot more opportunities for the community of Stewart.
Yeah, I guess that would be a big boon for them as well, is just because of their remoteness, people might want to be there, but you can't really work remotely if you don't have the internet. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Yeah, take care.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.